Good morning, and welcome to Jump in Tucson. I'm your host, Ted Maxwell, and you're listening to the Engagement Hour on KVOI 1030, The Voice, trusted local news and talk. So today, originally, I was scheduled to have Senator Justine Wodzak on with me, and we decided that we would wait until after the craziness of this week and probably until after the session, but I will have her on, and I appreciate the fact that even in all the chaos, she was willing to come on today. But after discussing it, I was very lucky to be able to reach out to the founder and currently the chief mission officer of Sister Jose's, as well as the current CEO. And we're going to talk about their engagement in the community through supporting Sister Jose's mission and the nonprofit and what all they do. But first, I've got a special guest for a couple minutes. Some of you may recognize the name, but Christy Simone, appreciate you staying around for a couple minutes. We were going to talk a little bit about the craziness that I think we'll see tomorrow up at the state legislature. You alluded to it on your show.
It's going to be a hoot and holler.
You know, obviously the decision by both the United States Supreme Court and then the Arizona Supreme Court has put the issue of abortion rights and as well as those who are anti-abortion in the forefront, and that's made for a very political environment up at the state legislature. So tomorrow may give you a lot of opportunity and a lot of things to talk about on your show.
We'll just have to see how smart the Republican side of the legislature is here. That's what we're going to see.
It's you know, last week I think you would have seen something that would be a compromise between the two parties coming on, probably relating to the you know, the overturning of the 1864 law. I'm not sure that's what you're going to see tomorrow. You know, the paper today ran a thing talking about maybe we may add one or two more ballot initiatives because we're only up to about 11. You know, we want to get to 13 or some ungodly amount at the end of the ballot. So that'll be interesting. But the reason I want you to come in and talk for a couple minutes is I think a lot of your listeners know that you do a lot outside of this studio as well, but one of the ones that you've always been firmly supportive of is Sister Jose. So
it's
I'd like you to just kind of give the story of how you connected with Gene and the efforts they do at Sister Jose's and why that's somewhere that you get involved.
It's interesting. You just never know how the Lord moves in mysterious ways, as we'd like to say. So I was asked to speak for in front of the Oral Valley Women's Republicans. It was like a post-election briefing kind of discussion. And so the ladies there are very organized. So, you know, the guest speaker must sit at this table with the president of the organization in the front, which was fine. But then the other guest speaker, because they always feature a nonprofit at their meetings, was Sister Jose. So all of a sudden, Gene is placed next to me, and we have place cards. Here's Chris and here's Gene. So we had to sit the next together, and that was an amazing blessing because I just love the mission, love the attitude of what they did. And so what I learned hanging out with Gene, then I went down and experienced the place, is the idea that you always love the organizations that do a lot with a little. And they are one of the ultimate little trains that could.
Well, there's no doubt when Gene founded it, it was a very small organization effort, and through her tenure, it has grown significantly. But I do think they're very mission-focused, and like you said, they don't have a lot. They don't even necessarily ask for too much,
yeah.
But they've got folks that support them, such as yourself and the Wakeys.
I remember Gene asked me, it's a few years ago, they used to have it was in the spring. It was like a lunchtime fundraiser at El Conquistador because Lopez is very supportive of them also. And I remember she asked me to do the ask. And so my speech to the crew on the ask was, this place is once you're hooked, you're in it. Right. So I remember there's a lot of people who were volunteers sitting in the audience. And I said, how many of you said, oh, I'm just going to visit and see what this place is about. And now you've been volunteering for the last 127 weeks. Right. And it was amazing. 70% of the crew raised their hand because that's what happens. Right. The way they tackle the situation is beautiful. Right. Their attitude. And also you have all of these, what you say to yourself is there's all these beautiful souls that have been cast aside, right? And so the way Gene has embraced those cast aside souls with love and dignity is really inspiring. And then once you see that, then you're done. And you're like, all right, what do you want? Here's my money. Right. And that's what I love about what they do. I love the idea that there's, you know, the idea that there's an all women shelter is important because so many women do not want to be at a shelter with a guy because some of their situations is they had a horrible situation with a guy, whether it was domestic violence or things like that. And also they were one of the first ones that say, if you have a dog, your dog is welcome. Right. So that was one of the first things they had to get built was a dog run kennel, things like that, because sometimes that dog is this person's only friend. Right.
Absolutely. So. And Chris, I tell you, I appreciate you staying around for a couple extra more minutes before you can go start the rest of your day.
Thank you. It's my honor.
And I think that's a perfect lead in and setup. And you're listening to Jump in Tucson.
Now, one last thing is when absolutely. You being an Air Force general, when you started this show, you had a list of all your potential guests. And there's 565 names. And I'm like right there at 564. So I know. No, I'm just kidding. All right. Have a great rest of your show. Well, thanks for supporting Sister Jose, too, because I love what they do.
Absolutely. And I appreciate all the help you've been for me, getting me a little bit more clued in on how to do this job. And I've got Matt Neely behind the glass.
You can't ask for a better guy than that guy.
Keeps me out of trouble. And ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to Jump in Tucson, and we'll be back with the leadership of Sister Jose's. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson on 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and I'm your host, Ted Maxwell. So I appreciate Christy Simone staying around and kind of setting up the rest of the show, but I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to learn a lot more about Sister Jose's. And Gene, I'm really honored to finally get to meet you.
Thank you. It's an honor to be here.
And Nicola, I'm looking forward to hearing your vision together, as you're both still heavily involved in Sister Jose's, is going forward. So I want to start off with the introductions just to give people an idea of who you are. And I was joking with Gene Fettigan before the show that I couldn't find anything about you online. It was like your life began when you founded Sister Jose. So you could take a minute just to kind of talk about, you know, what got you involved, not necessarily directly with Sister Jose's, but what kind of got you looking for stuff out there. What is it in your background that made you want to serve? Because this show focuses on trying to get people to be involved and engaged. And it just takes a little bit of effort. But what brought you to Tucson? What made you passionate and...
Well, I came to Tucson. I was born and raised on a ranch, farm and ranch, in Happy, Texas. So I came to Tucson in my 20s because my oldest son, John, had asthma. And so at that time, we were told to come to the desert to help with children or people with asthma. So I came. He's a great guy. I can't say he's little anymore. That was 50 years ago. So John is great. He was just retired from the fire department up in Catalina.
Oh, outstanding. Look at that.
As a captain.
Yeah. More service in the family.
And more service in the family. And my youngest son is a registered, certified anesthetist, RN. And he works... down in Sarita, where they live. I became a nurse when I came here, and I became the chief nursing officer out at South Campus. I was working with UA Health, started at TMC my career, and then went to UA Health and helped bring up the clinics and the hospital there when UA Health purchased Keno. And spent 10 years then there as a chief nursing officer. And I chose that because I could serve people that I had a drawing to, a pulling to, you know, the less fortunate, the people who really were on the brink of homelessness and poverty. And so I have a great feeling for those folks. I am a member of Our Mother of Sorrows Parish on the east side. Monsignor Tom Cahalan is a good friend. Introduced me to Sister Jose. Sister Jose was a Franciscan nun who gave her life in service to the poor. And so being around her, being around Monsignor Tom, you just get called into the service. If you want to live your faith, if you want to live your values, then you serve. And I discovered I had a great love for the people. And then one fall, Sister Jose died in 2009, and that fall, I was out feeding the poor with Most Holy Trinity. They have something called Soup Patrol. They had that for many, many years. I don't know if they had it this year or not. But a great time to go visit, and people would come to designated areas, and we would feed them soup and bread and give them a blanket if they needed it, just anything to keep warm in the winter nights. One night I was out with that, and I asked Brother David, who was opening the men's shelter, where the women go. And he said, we turn them away. It is unsafe to have them here.
That's a perfect setup for when we lead into the why mm-hmm. you decided to found Sister Jose's. I did not realize you had actually met Sister Jose.
We were friends.
That is incredible. Nicola, I want to come to you, and this is Nicola Hartman. She's now the CEO of mm-hmm. Sister Jose's. You were a little easier to find some background information, but it was always in service, and there were some other nonprofits you supported, some that I'm a huge fan of. So could you kind of give a little background of, again, what led you towards service, and then what brought you through your journey to Sister Jose's?
Yeah, I have, thank you. My background is in marketing. I am a U of A undergrad, and went to Thunderbird for my MBA. And while I was working for Pepsi Cola, when the Lane family had the local distribution, I was invited by the Sunnyside Unified School District Foundation to serve on their board of directors. I was the first non-Sunnyside grad invited. It was a big deal, and it was a dynamic group of people. And I'm an Amphi grad. I've lived in Tucson a long time. Wow. And so I've got to know the community, the Sunnyside community, and the need and the level of poverty and the level of heart of the people there, and got involved in nonprofits and started more volunteer work, and then went to work for Child and Family Resources with another great leader and founder, Martha Rothman, who really inspired me. And that just changed my trajectory of being one involved with probably great women and with nonprofits. And so have kind of, you know, followed that. Working with some of, I think, the best nonprofits in this community, San Miguel High School, again, part of that mostly Sunnyside community, education and determination, and people trying to make their lives better, and then working with youth on their own. So discovering youth homelessness and just that, you know, again, passion for youth and education and people through who are in circumstances through no fault of their own. And then that led me to Sister Jose when, you know, Jean's work and the center just has exploded in the need. And she needed a little bit of help to do a bit more so she could serve her biggest passion, which is direct service to the guests and the women we serve. And so she invited me to come be part of her team. So I've been very fortunate, and it is like nothing I've ever experienced.
And that's a big statement in and of that line with that closing line, because you've been involved in so many different organizations. And Yodo, my wife and I are huge fans of that. She actually serves on that board. And you both really live lives of service. I mean, that's kind of what it's been all about. So, Gene, coming back, so you had that experience and asking, where do the women go? And you know they're there. I mean, it's societal norms. It's just not the, you know, men that find themselves out on the streets or turn to the streets or have no choice but to be out there. So that led you to make the decision to open Sister Jose's. And
yes.
Can you tell me about the dauntingness of that first step and making that move, and how you were able to make it happen?
You know, it was actually fairly easy. Once I understood the need and Sister Jose had died, I just felt this passion to make sure that the women were taken care of. And so I went to my parish, to Monsignor Tom Colleen, and asked to speak at all masses, and picked up my first 22 volunteers, and we began an overnight shelter in the 10th and 19th. There's a little Assembly of God church there, and they allowed us to come in at night. And that's how we started, and then it just continued to grow. You know, I have my MBA in healthcare, and being a chief nursing officer, you just think you can tell them what to do and they'll do it. So I had this tremendous learning experience, and I began to listen to them and what they needed. And every year we closed at Easter. The church needed their sanctuary back. And ultimately then we expanded to a little house on 18th Street. Buck and Bobby O'Reilly were my angels who helped me go there and rent that place. What a wonderful gift that was, because immediately we could open into a day program, and it just kept growing. When we started it, we had about 20 women. When we left that place 5 years later, we had 12 women at night, and we served about 60 women a day in 750 square feet. So,
that's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's sometimes I think we lose track of how little sometimes people need to feel part of a community.
Correct.
And that 750 square feet and 12 women at night, that's tight.
It is, but you know what? They would listen to one another, and periodically someone would say to me, you know, there's a new person here, a new woman here who has never been on the street, so I'm going to give her my space because I know how to survive. She doesn't. And you find this miracle of community and love for one another, no matter who you are. And it's contagious, and it brings you back every day to open the gates again. The women are absolutely wonderful to serve.
And that's the voice of Gene Fettigan, the founder and now the chief mission officer of Sister Jose's. So we've got about a minute and a half before we have to take the next break. And it's actually, that means we've got probably about a minute of talking. What are your thoughts now that you've brought somebody else into the CEO and you're taking more the CMO position?
I thank God every day. I have such a passion for the women. Nicola brings an enormous talent to the organization to help take us to those next steps. It's time for me to take that step back, or it was, and that's what I'm trying to do. And I can't think of one person who would be better fitted for that role.
That is an outstanding place to leave this first session, because that's going to bring people back. Mm-hmm. So you've been listening to Jump in Tucson, the Engagement Hour, and these two leaders of Sister Jose's are definitely engaged. We'll see you after the bottom of the hour. Welcome back. You're listening to Jump in Tucson, and this is the Engagement Hour. Tomorrow, Grant Krueger will not be here, but I highly encourage you to tune in at 9 o'clock as Lydia Aranda will be a guest host for Jumpin' Tucson on Wednesday. So it's always good to support all those folks that are involved in the Jump In Tucson program. I appreciate Ed Ackerley setting this up. You know, you've got 5 different days, 5 different shows, 5 different hosts. The purpose of the Engagement Hour is to try to do that, is to give, well, both recognize folks who serve, but also to give people the motivation to get out and be involved. As citizens of the United States, we've got responsibilities to the rest of our communities. And some do it through service, either military or first responders or the healthcare networks, educators. You know, some run for public office, you know, and then none of us around the table today, see that in our futures. But there's also a lot of different ways to serve. It's as simple as being an informed voter when you go to the ballot box every year. And there's so many different organizations, and Tucson's known for them. But I think one of the best organizations we've got in this region is Sister Jose's Women's Shelter. It's filling a need that was vacant, and it's continuing to thrive and grow. And so today with us, we've got Gene Fettigan, who's the founder and now the chief mission officer, just recently gave up the CEO seat to go back to her passion for serving and working with the women that they serve. And we've got Nicola Hartman, who has come on after a long history of nonprofit work, drawn to Sister Jose's, came in as the CEO, and now has taken over as the CEO. So, Nicola, I guess my question for you first off is, when you joined Sister Jose's, I know you had a vision of what you expected. What have you found? Has it been everything you wanted it to be? Do you see the challenge? Do you see some challenges coming on? And what's kind of your excitement about your new role?
It was nothing like what I thought it would be. I had been serving youth homelessness and, you know, education and organizations that were involved in poverty for a number of years, but adult homelessness and women experiencing homelessness is like nothing I could have imagined. My only experience with it was seeing people on the street. You don't see as many women, you see more men. Women hide because it's not safe to be a woman on the street. And it was like nothing I could have imagined. I've been there almost 3 years. This August will be 3 years and a little over a year as CEO. And that's what I tell people mostly, is that it's like nothing I could have imagined. There are more women than ever before. It's a growing population. You know, just in Pima County alone in the last 5 years, the number of homeless individuals has increased by, you know, more than 60%. We've seen over a 20% increase just in the last year. And so when I came in and started seeing these women, you know, working alongside Gene, they were different, but they were, you know, our sisters, our mothers, our grandmothers, people who never thought they would be unhoused, who never thought they would be in this situation. You just mentioned teachers. You know, we had a woman staying with us, a retired school teacher who was suffering from dementia and lost all of her money through a scam, and then found herself on the street. And she came to us afraid and didn't know what to do. And with some support and some guidance and a safe space to sleep at night, we were able to move her forward. And when I say we, it's a lot of people to help one woman. It is the staff, which is small but mighty and growing. I don't know how Jean did it all of those years. And an amazing, probably the most amazing core of volunteers I've ever seen, who put themselves out there in direct service to these women. And then the staff who choose this as their daily career. It's surprising how much they give.
Well, they need a good leader as well. And so I'm sure you're very engaged in that process. We've talked, you're up to about 30 staff members. So Gene, going back, we kind of left the listener with the idea that you had a house that had 750 square feet in it. And so during your time and the growth, and can you talk about where you're located now and
of course
what the capacity is and
we began
how that occurred?
We found that the house on 18th Street was way too small very quickly. And the numbers, as Nicola has said, just kept growing. It's by word on the street that these women appear. And we began to raise money, and we had some great angels within the community who stepped forward to help us. HSL Construction did a big, Buck and Bobby O'Reilly. There were several others, the Cliftons, who stepped forward and said, you need bigger. You're out of space. You need to do something different. And so they helped us run the campaign, a capital campaign. And we raised enough money to purchase the place where we are now, which is at 1050 South Park. It was the old Cummings building. It was a metal building. A friend of mine, Steve and Sally Toefel, came over to the property, and I said, can we, you know, is this good? And Steve laughed and said, I'm a contractor. Metal buildings are good, and I'm going to do this for you. Steve, through working with his subcontractors, we were able to transform that building into the basis of what it is now. And it was an enormous journey. It was filled with just a great deal of love and community. I remember a woman's coming in and saying, I'm understanding you're being here. You're going to come here. And I wonder if you can show me your kitchen. And so I said, well, show you what it's going to look like and where it is. It's a commercial kitchen. I don't know how to run it. And as a volunteer, she looked at me and said, yeah, but I do.
Oh, and that's
so
a great story as well.
And so I found people within the community who would come forward and just say, this is how you set it up. Steve was marvelous at getting people in to help us. And we have a building that's free and clear. And that's very important for all of us, for me in particular, because I see it going toward program for the women then. We have enough food, we have enough things, but it's the community that brings that together.
And having that stability behind your organization, it makes it easier when you go out and ask for donations and help, because they know it's going directly to the women you serve. So correct. I believe now you've roughly 42 women at night and 70 plus during the daytime come through your facilities. What are the trends?
Way more than that.
Good. Well, let's get the real numbers. That's the numbers I found. But let's also, so what are the numbers you're serving daily, and what are the trends you're seeing? I think we, as a community, we recognize that there is more homelessness visible, and therefore we're all making the assumption that it's also expanding, and you told a story about teachers and some other folks that find themselves in this position, even if they sometimes have incomes, they've got jobs. So can you kind of talk, Nicola, about what you see as the trends of who you're serving and their needs, special needs that you're finding?
So the numbers have increased, definitely. We when I first started at Sister Jose, we would see about 60 women in the day program. That's in the morning for the very basic services of food, shower, emergency clothing, laundry. And then that number started increasing. Now, it is not unusual for us to serve 120 plus women in 3 short hours. That, in addition to the afternoon program where women can rest in a safe, quiet space. So 70 was a great number. not a great number, obviously, but 120. And so more than 50% of the women we serve are 50 plus years of age. More than half of them don't have any income, or if they do have an income, it is very limited. So limited Social Security, rents are going up, multiple challenges physically and mentally, you know, women in walkers and wheelchairs. You know, how can someone in an electric wheelchair be on the street? Mm-hmm. You know, we see women in their 60s, 70s, and 80s, first time, you know, unhoused. So the numbers are growing, the need is growing, and the challenges, you know, that these women have. You know, you asked me how it is different from when I started. Naively, I thought, oh, 25% of the women on the street have mental health challenges. Well, that number is closer to 70%. And, you know, they report 60% of our guests report some kind of challenges, you know, everything from schizophrenia to multiple personalities, to behavioral health and anxiety. But, you know, when you're on the street and you have those, you know, those challenges and they're unmedicated, it's really hard to move forward. And so that's what we're seeing. And that's been the biggest eye-opener for me. And this is definitely the most challenging job I've ever had, because it's so hard to say, oh, we fixed this, and oh, this woman is housed. And Jean taught me that housing obviously is the end goal, but this is a pathway. And if you can give a woman dignity by giving her a shower and giving her a meal, then you build that relationship with her to help her move forward and figure out what her individual path is and how our organization, along with other organizations, can move her forward.
Mm-hmm. Jean, now that you're in the role, not like you were never in this role, because you've really been the mission officer since the day you founded Sister Jose's. But now that you're kind of focused on that, Nicola talked about some of the problems that these women are facing. Is there services that Sister Jose brings to them or makes the connections? Or what do you see that maybe you'd like to see Sister Jose's do more of to help the women that you're dealing with on a daily basis?
Well, some of the things that I'm really excited about is Nicola has really taken hold of what needs to happen and how to expand. When we just recently finished expanding to 55 beds, so over time we'll get those filled, and having programs that will help those women. I'm going to use myself as an example. I'm 77. When I wake up in the morning, I have lights. I can get a cup of coffee. I can pet my dog, you know, and then begin my day. If I were on the street, I would be in a stairwell or a park. I would be lucky if I had my dog with me, because then they alert if someone walks up to you. Otherwise, you're in total danger. If my things get stolen, and I have no driver's license, no birth certificate, nothing that I'd, no Social Security card, because that's in my purse, and it's gone, how do I prove who I am? And Sister Jose welcomes you, picks that up. They have worked now, they have case navigators that will say, how can we help you? The most important thing is to say, we welcome you. How can we help you today? And then the basic services. But just having someone who says, you lost your ID, let us help you. Because you've got to start there. Or how do you work with your agency? Or what do you do? These women do that for us. And the staff is great at that. And Tia is a great program director. And
she is.
I just want to say one thing about volunteers. Nicola mentioned that they come in and they really give themselves, and they work hard with us and work with the women and love the women. And we offer tours for people to come in, and I ask people to come in on tours because when they do, it's members of the community meeting our community. These people, these women, are our community. And what an incredible feeling there is within the center when that happens.
That's I can see the passion in your voice.
Yes.
And I can see it because I get to see you talk about it. And that has been so critical because even Chris mentioned the beginning, the first woman's shelter. You do allow the women to bring their dogs and their animals,
yes,
their friends with them, to say. So we're going to take one more break here. But when we come back, I want you both to focus on how the community can get involved and help Sister Jose's continue with your mission. You've been listening to Jump in Tucson on KVOI 1030 The Voice, trusted local news and talk, and we'll be right back. Good morning and welcome back to Jump in Tucson. I've had the honor today to be talking with the leadership at Sister Jose's, Jean Fettigan, the founder and now the chief mission officer, and Nicola Hartman, the CEO. Originally the CEO when she first came on, now the CEO. I do want to plug a Thomas Moulton show on Thursday for Jump in Tucson. He's going to have Tony Gonzalez, the director of the Colossal Cave Mountain Park. So please turn in on Thursday and listen to him as well. I appreciate your time, and I really appreciate that you flexed for me and came in early when my show changed. So that worked good. So I really want to give you both some opportunities to give some closing thoughts. And Nicola, I'm going to start with you. What do you see as the things that people can do and the support you need and the direction you think that the Sister Jose is going to have to kind of tact in the continuation of your tenure?
Yeah, so we are expanding, adding more beds, looking to how we can better serve the women that come to us for help, because sometimes there's nowhere else for them to go. And they come with their pets, as you said, and we welcome them and the cats and the dogs, and we've had a bunny. But I think, as Jean said, you know, come to the center and see these women and meet them. And then if you don't come to the center, you know, see people on the street as individuals, you know, carry water with you, smile, whether you have food or, you know, a little bit to share, you know, it's that dignity. And, you know, learn more, advocate, and support organizations that are anti-poverty organizations like Sister Jose. We are fortunate to have the Arizona State Tax Credit, and you can start preparing for your next taxes already, so with those tax credits. But again, volunteer, people give all amounts of time, and come and be a part of it, and learn more, because homelessness is still not understood in our community. I don't think anywhere. Learn more, and we're happy to help share what we know with you as well.
So you've both mentioned a couple times coming down and touring the facility, mm-hmm, especially if you're interested or you find the mission of Sister Jose's of value. So I want to make sure you give that address one more time.
So where the center is located at 1050 South Park, please call in advance. So the best way to start is visiting the website, and that is sisterjose.org. To learn more and to reach out, you know, send us an email and come and visit. We have scheduled tours a couple of times a month, so you can come for one of those.
And I'll tell you that I think that's a great offer on your behalf, because I'd say some nonprofits, it's a little tougher to get in and see what the mission, that you can read the mission, you can see the stuff on the website, and it's definitely the best place to start. But getting the visual
there,
experience, and seeing it sometimes can be the difference of a supporter, a volunteer, and your mission is very critical. Real quick, just a yes or no, are there other women's shelters now in the region? Have they expanded any, or is really Sister Jose's the one true women shelter in the region?
We really are the only.
Yeah.
There are some very small 10-bed, or it's mixed men and women. And, you know, women often say, I don't feel safe going somewhere where men are, so.
Absolutely. You've been listening to 1030 Voice, but I want to finish Gene, you made a couple comments on what you think's most important for us to recognize about the homeless community. I want you to close.
I would love for people to come visit. Just give us a call. I'll meet them there. I'll do tours with them. I'll speak with them in the community. The most important thing is what we learn. We welcome them. They are human beings, and that's so important.
And on that news, you've been listening to Jumpin' Tucson. Thank you for joining us today, and please listen every day.